Canto 20. Against a better will, mere will fights ill. Therefore, to please him, this did not please me. I drew the sponge that I had wished to fill out of the water, curiosity unsatisfied. I moved on round the hill, my leader, too, moved, keeping to that part left free from bodies close to the rock, as battlements provide, by builder's art, a walkway for the guards. Too great a stock, the other edge contained, of people who poured from their eyes the evil drop by drop that fills the world. Old wolf, a curse on you. You with your hunger that will never stop for more prey than all other beasts. When, O heavens, by whose wheeling its believed conditions shift and change for living men, when will he come by whom we are reprieved and put the wolf to flight? And on we went, with short, slow steps, and on those weeping shades, their lamentations, I remained intent, until by chance I heard, through his cascades of tears, one up ahead of us call, "Ah, sweet Mary!" like a woman giving birth. "The meagre hostelry below the star, where you lay down your burdens of great worth, tell us how poor you were." And then I heard, "Fabricius, consul who did not betray Rome for a bribe, but chose to keep your word, virtue in poverty must far outweigh riches in wickedness." These last words stirred such pleasure in me that I pressed ahead, to know that soul from which they seemed to come. And he went on to tell of how it said Saint Nicholas bestowed a generous sum as dowry on 3 girls who faced disgrace from destitution. "Soul who speaks so well of such good, who were you? Why, in this place, do you alone renew the tales you tell of well-earned praise? Be sure your words will be repaid if I get back to life and walk the last part of the road that's left to me." And he, "Not for that boon of which you talk, comfort from yonder, but because I see such grace in you before death I will speak. Of that most evil tree, I was the root, the tree that overshadows with its bleak wide canopy all Christendom. Good fruit is rarely gathered there. But if Douai, Lille, Ghent, and Bruges had sufficient force, they'd take revenge for that fact, which is why, from him who judges all things in due course, I beg an intervention. I was called Hugh Capet, yonder. All the kings of France, called Philip or else Louis, now installed on that throne, have my loins for provenance. I was a Paris butcher's son. The old kings faded, all but one of them who was, at my insistence, chosen to uphold a cloistered life, and that became his cause. A grey-clad monk, at which I could enfold the reins in my safe hands of government and kingdom, much new power and many friends. Such an abundance that my son's head rose into the vacant crown. From there extends the line of their bones, and we all know those are consecrated. Just as long as that great dowry of Provence had not deprived my line of shame, it more or less stood pat. Of small account, at least it still contrived to do no harm. But then with force and fraud began its rapine. 3 French petty states England gave up, persuaded by the sword. Charles of Anjou, so history relates, was gentle when he killed young Conradin, and sent Thomas Aquinas to his rest with thoughtful tact. I see the times begin when Charles of Valois, at the Pope's behest, comes out of France to Florence. He wants fame for self and people. He arrives unarmed, save for the Judas lance, the shaft of blame, and drives it home so that the city's harmed. Its paunch bursts, and he picks up from the game not land, but sin and shame. And every wight is driven out when he lets in the blacks. The more he calls that victory by his right, the more the guilt he has, the grace he lacks. The second Charles of Anjou from his ship was taken prisoner. Now I see him trade his daughter as the pirates crack a whip for other women slaves who must parade, and when the bidding flags they force the price. Oh, avarice! What can you do to us to match what you have done? How can you twice draw to yourself my grasping bloodline thus, so we devour each other? But there's worse, worse than before or after. Philip brings the fleur-de-lis to settle like a curse, on where Charles Valois gets away from things and makes him captive, thus a second time mocking the Lord. Once more the vinegar, again the gall, and dying for no crime between two living thieves. And this, by far, is not enough for our new pilot, no. Outside the law he sails in all his greed to rob the Templars. Lord, when can I show the joy of seeing you bring what we need? Your vengeance, which while it stays hidden so, makes your wrath sweet. We know that we await a reckoning for sinners. When I cried the bride's name of the Holy Ghost so great, and brought you for more comment to my side, such was for us, as long as day lasts here, the object of our prayer exemplified. But we invoke the worst when night draws near. In darkness we call up Pygmalion. Gold fever made a traitor and a thief, and worse. By his untamed hand, death was done to his own sister Dido's husband. Grief for her, but gain for him. Did anyone know misery like the greedy guts in chief, King Midas, who was granted his fond prayer to have the world turn golden at his touch, and now forever all men fight for air, laughing at him? And all here just as much remember foolish Achan, how he stole the spoils at Jericho and earned a hail of stones from Joshua, and now the whole anguish he feels again. And we assail Sapphira and her husband with our scorn, they who took money that the people willed to the apostles. And the horse kick borne by Iliodorus after he had filled his pockets to the temple we salute. The name of Polymestor, king of Thrace, who murdered Polydorus and, to boot, filched all his wealth, we grant a lasting place in infamy. And the last one on the list, Crassus, you drank gold. Did you like the taste? For that triumvir had a grasping fist and died of it, and in his mouth the waste of his great love was poured, but he had missed the moment when he might have lived the proof that avarice is loss. Some of us speak forth boldly here, and others more aloof speak low. The ardor, strong or weak, compels our voice with force the more or less, and thus, although I seemed alone just now, we all talk day by day of what we bless. The good. But I was loudest. That was how you picked me out. We had already left Hugh Capet, and were out to cover ground as fast as we could go, when the whole heft of that great mountain shook and moved around like something getting set to fall. A chill seized me as if I'd been sent to my death. Did Delos, the floating island, by Jove's will, set fast so that Latona might give breath to heaven's twin eyes, ever shake this hard before Apollo and Diana stood on earth made firm? My master was my guard. He drew close to convince me this was good, as on all sides arose a mighty shout. Fear not! I am your guide, was one thing heard. Also a cry of Gloria rang out, and In excelsis Deo chased that word into the ear, although that close about I heard the best and was not always sure, such was the noise. Unmoving in suspense, we stood surrounded by that sweet uproar, as once the shepherds were deprived of sense by what the cry they heard said was in store for them and all mankind, something immense. But then it ended, and the trembling ceased, and we could take once more our sacred path. The shades that lay there, having thus released their outburst, melted in the aftermath, their usual weeping. Never did ignorance goad me to know, if rightly I recall, as it did then in that twin circumstance of song and earthquake. But since that was all there was to see and hear, and time was short, I dared not ask, and could not, on my own, work out the implications. Lost in thought, too shy to ask a question, left alone behind my guide. I went on past that long line of the ones who weep at their own song.